today on Living on Every Word.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The Word, Scripture, Scripture of God, the Word of God, declares that glory as well.
In Scripture, we see that God reveals Himself in two primary ways, through His creation and through His Word. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher focuses on Psalm 19 and how God reveals Himself through His Word and the impact this Word comes to have in our lives in part 3 of our study, The Greatness of God.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. We have been in this series on the greatness of God over the past 3 weeks, and last week looked at Psalm 19 at the natural or general revelation of God's greatness. Scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Scripture says in Psalm 19 that the heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Verse 2, day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterance to the end of the world. In them He has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from the one end of the heavens and the circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. We have this general revelation of God, that the heavens and creation is declaring God's glory. And the thought is that this creation is not made to worship. It was made to point us to God, that we might see God and worship Him. And we saw last week that there's no excuse. But man instead worshiped creation. Man rebels, chaos enters the world, and when God created the world, it was perfect. No chaos. The Spirit, the Scripture says, in the beginning brooded over the surfaces of the deep, and God spoke, let there be light. Let there be an expanse. Let the waters below the earth be gathered to one place. Let the dry land appear. Let the earth sprout vegetation. Let there be lights in the expanse. Let the waters teem with living things, and let birds fly above the earth. Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind. Let us make man in our own image. The heavens declare the glory of God. The Word of God establishes His glory. If you'll notice, in chapter 19 of Psalms, verse 7, not only does God speak of His general revelation, but He also speaks of His special revelation. And so if you'll notice, in chapter 7, the Scripture speaks of the law of the Lord is perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. They're more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. The heavens declare the glory of God, but the Word, the Scripture of God, the Word of God, declares that glory as well. If you'll go to John chapter 1 and notice what he says happens at creation in the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, that's the person of Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And this light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. The darkness doesn't overcome it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was perfect. It was without blemish. Man and woman walked in perfection. Then the fall came, and God had a plan. And that plan was to send the Word, the very God who created you and me, that would one day become flesh, and we would know Him as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Spirit. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Savior of your life, the Savior of your soul, the Savior of your heart, everything about you, to come and deliver you and save you from this sin. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything came into being by this word, Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, when you go to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. God, eternal God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory of the only begotten of God. Jesus Christ created. What I love about this passage of Scripture is that He says in the original language, in the beginning was the Logos. The word Logos means something said. Whatever God says is the Logos. He is speaking of Jesus Christ as being the Logos, and the Logos coming to have existence, to live amongst us in your life. This God became a man and dwelt among us. And John is saying, we beheld His glory. What I want to suggest to you, when I look at Psalm chapter 19, and as it points toward God, it points to this special revelation that I open up the Word and I get to see Jesus. I get to see Jesus on every page, by the way. Matter of fact, if you'll position yourself in your mind and your heart, when you open the Word, to say, God, I want to see Jesus today through it. And it can be in Genesis, it can be in Deuteronomy, it can be in Numbers, it can even be in the genealogies. You can find Christ on every page. Because He's the Word. This Word is life, Scripture says. This Word, the Bible says, is we're to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will pierce as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what the Word does. It exposes the heart. I read it and I look at this Word and I see all the principles, I see all of the law, I see all of the commandments, I see all of the testimonies, I see all that God has written, and it's supposed to come and it's supposed to move by the power of the Holy Spirit to prick our hearts and expose our hearts. That's what the Word does. You're reading it, you see God in it, you see His perfection, you see His glory, you see His greatness, and you and I, when we read it, should at times be undone. He exposes our heart, Scripture says, knows the intentions of the heart. This is the special revelation of God, and it's for a purpose. Now, I want you to go back to Psalm chapter 19, and I want us to look at a couple of things about what David says about this Word, because God's Word will target your life, okay? You know, some of you think that you're a target of the enemy, and we are, but I want to tell you, you're also a target of God, a good target, target of the Word. The Word is powerful. The Word in its nature, the Scripture says, is lots of things. One of the things He says about it in chapter 19, verse 7, that the Word or the law of the Lord is perfect. It restores the soul. God's Word targets your soul so that it might restore you. This is what He says about the Word, that this Word is called the law of God, and it is perfect. It will restore what is ruined. This first word is the law of God. Now, what is the law? The word is Torah in the Bible, okay? And it's the Bible's favorite expression of what it likes to call itself, the Scripture. The law of God. Now, a lot of us in here, we say, well, we don't like to hear the word law. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you like to hear about the law of gravity? I'm glad there's a law of gravity, aren't you? There's a law of gravity, that there's certain laws of the universe that hold us together. It's a law. It's the word of God. And I'm glad to hear about the law that holds us together, that moves through our lives. Now, it comes from this Hebrew word, and it means to instruct, to direct, to put straight, and to guide. And it's not just the Ten Commandments, okay? But this law is the entire counsel of God, and it's revealed in Scripture. And it's a system of instruction by which we are taught knowledge and the ways of God. And you know what? It's how we know Him. Now, the Bible says of itself in this passage of Scripture that this law is perfect. And that simply means it is whole. It is complete. One commentator says it's right on all sides. It's an all-sided word. It speaks to everything in your life. It speaks to every your relationships. It speaks about your money. It speaks about how you're to respond and how you're to react and what you're to repent from and what you're to embrace. It speaks to who God is and how He's great and a just and a kind and a loving God. It's all-sided, he says. When I pick up this word, I see the law of God. When David describes this law as perfect, he's saying no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle. It's complete, it's full, it's perfect, it's undefiled. It's what is acceptable to God for the converting of the soul. It's real interesting when you think about this whole word. He says, listen, what does this perfect law do? It restores the soul. The very center of your life gets restored by the word of God. Now, let me just say this. Just having a Bible in your house and saying, yeah, that's my Bible, doesn't convert your soul. Okay? You can have 10 of them, 15 of them, and that's not going to restore your soul. This word is the perfect word of God so that when you embrace it and you believe it and you walk in it, you begin to see the restoration of the soul. The word of God restores the soul. This Bible, this scripture, this word that is in this Bible is so perfect that it will restore the brokenness of your soul. And what I love about this Bible is, in this word, that when it sinks into your heart, into your life, and you're believing it and you're seeing fruit come forth of it, your brokenness gets healed up. And whatever's broken, wherever you've been, whatever darkness you've walked in, whatever struggle you've had, that God comes along and says, I want to restore your soul, and I want to restore your soul to me, to God. You know, I look at this word and I think of the greatness, a restored soul. God can forgive me of all that? God can mend this broken soul of mine? Yes. And that's part of the greatness of God. God stepping down from glory, the Word becoming flesh, using this Word, His Word, in your life to restore the brokenness. And I want to tell you, this restoration is more than just a fresh paint and just a couple of rewirings of a couple of rooms in a house. You get a whole new soul. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. The word of the Lord is perfect, all-sided. This word is so perfect that you apply your life to it, it will bring this salvation, it will bring this restoration, and it'll bring it to your soul and to everything your soul touches, whether it's relationships in your marriage or with children or with parents, restoring the soul of churches, restoring the souls of families and marriages and relationships. This word is perfect. It'll restore your soul. Folks, it's what people need today. They don't need a library of self-help books. They need the Word of God. Because the Word of God is perfect. I think we're privileged to go into any bookstore and find a plethora of Bibles. I walk into your homes and you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Bibles. And how often do we find ourselves in seasons where we're not picking up on one of them to find the restoration of God in our lives? And you know, I just think about this whole thought, if this word is perfect and I believe it and it restores what is ruined, then why in the world am I not committing my life even more to its study? Sunday school, getting your children into Sunday school on a Sunday morning in groups. I mean, to think about studying the word Wednesday night, the word of God going forth. If this word is so perfect and it restores what is ruined, do I not want to do that in my home and in our church? Yes. I want to open this word up and I want to read it and I want to study it and I want to build my life around it because the Bible says that this word will last forever. It will last forever. It restores the soul. That's what it does. If you go back to chapter 19, notice the next thing. The Bible says that the testimony of the Lord is sure. It is sure. It makes wise the simple. And this is where it targets your mind, okay? Because, you know, many of us confess that we are but simple people. The Bible says of itself that this word, this is a testimony of God. It's what God declares about himself. It's what God declares who he is and what he intends to do. And he says, listen, this word, this testimony is a witness of myself. It's a witness of my character. And this word is faithful. It is firm. It is true. It can be trusted that this word will support and foster you. This word is faithful. That's why when you open it up from cover to cover, you will find that it is sure. You know, last week we looked at Job chapter 38, verse 1. Did you remember this last week? We talked about, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? God is saying to Job and all of Job's troubles, listen, can you do these things? Can you lead forth the Masoreth in its season? And can you guide the bear with her satellites? And I looked at those two verses this week, and I want to kind of go back and just study a little bit of what he's saying. What did he mean by binding the chains of the Pleiades? Or loose the cords of Orion? What do you mean by that? And so I started studying a little bit, and you know, I came across the study of this constellation called Pleiades, or a group of stars. There are about seven stars that have the same magnitude of light. These stars are known as the Seven Sisters. And what scientists have found out about these stars is that each of these stars is not really one star. It's some of these stars have 250 stars together. And you know what they found out about these stars? That those 250 stars that looks like one star, they're all bound together. And they're moving from our sky and from our perspective in a southeasterly flow, and they're moving together. Okay. And they have found that they're moving together in this whole group of stars. So if one star is really 250 stars or 60 stars or whatever, you know, they're all moving together. And astronomers say they're moving like a flock of geese through the heavens. And they're bound together. And you know what God is asking Job? Hey, Job, can you bind the Pleiades? Can you keep them together as they travel through space? I can. And I do. Or take, for instance, Orion. Orion's belt. He says, can you loose the belt of Orion? Three stars. Can you loose them? Well, scientists have found that these stars are moving in three different directions. They're not bound together. They're loosed. And what he's saying to Job 900 years before Moses wrote that they looked up at the stars and he says, hey, I can take that belt and I can scatter it, which I'm doing. Or take the next star, what he calls the bear, and all of its constellations. This star is called Arcticus. And they have found out that this star is a runaway star. And it's moving about 300 miles per second. Our sun moves about 9 miles per second. And this star is shooting off somewhere. And they found out that not only is it this star, but they have about 25 other stars that are chasing it with it. Just kind of just moving through space. And you know what God says? Can you take this bear star and can you guide it with all of its satellites? With all of its other stars? I can. Job, I know you're struggling. Job, I know you're hurting. Job, I know you're going through things, but I'm the great God who commands these things. There's one scientist who was studying the book of Job, and he comes to this thought as he is looking at all these new scientific things that are coming his way. And he says this, he says, I've studied the book of Job, and I've compared it with all the latest scientific discoveries, and it's brought me to the matured conviction that the Bible is an inspired book and was written by the one who made the stars. How in the world did Job know? God told him. Who else? Folks, the Word of God is sure. You know, 3,000 years ago, Hindu scripture was written. You know what they said kept the earth up? About eight large elephants sitting on a turtle in a sea. Job comes along 900 years before Moses writing and says that the earth stands on nothing. He stretches out the north over the empty space and he hangs the earth on nothing. The Word of God is sure. I mean, you look at scientific discoveries and you're going to go to the Word and find it. You can go to the Word and find it. The Word of God is trustworthy. You can depend upon it. And the Bible says, listen, it'll take your simple mind and it will make you wise. But this wisdom is just not a wisdom that says, I know all these things. This wisdom is an application of the truth. The Word of God is so sure that it'll make you wise in your behavior. This word will make you wise. It'll show you how to live. It goes far beyond knowing what the constellations are. Because a pagan can look at the constellation and go, ooh and ah. But a pagan can't walk in the wisdom of God. I go to the Word, I know that it's sure, and those little things that we talk about in science, those are what the French would call lagniappe. A little something extra. Lagniappe. Matter of fact, I've got something so great, and then God goes on and He gives me something a little bit extra. And just sharing with you about what Job knew, that's just lagniappe. That's just a little something extra to marvel at and to wonder at. I want to tell you where the real guts of it is. It's in God coming and restoring your soul and making you wise. He comes to do that in your life, to walk in wise behavior. And I ask the question, what would that provoke in you and what would that provoke in me? Because I want to tell you, you walk in them, it'll make you wise. Reject them and go another way, you'll be foolish. Have you ever come to a point of your life where you were walking and you began to move through this downward spiral slide and you woke up in the pit and you thought, this season of my life is really foolish. And you look back and you thought, me might not have said it this way. But I looked at my behavior, I looked at my actions, I looked at the way I lived, I looked at the way I spoke, I looked at those things and they were far, far cry from what the Word of God calls me to live by. And I was so foolish. Because in my foolishness, I lost a little bit. I lost the peace that God had for me. I lost that clean conscience and that good conscience that God cleaned for me. And instead, I exchanged it for guilt and a sense of failure and all those things that accompany our sin and our failure. My Bible says that this word is so great that it'll take your simpleness and it'll make you wise. And you'll walk in wisdom, listen to me, the rest of your life. This Word of God, which is so perfect, will restore your soul. It'll make you wise. If you were to read on, the Bible says that this Word is so great that it will rejoice your heart. The Word of God will not only target your soul and your mind, it'll target the heart. And he'll say, listen, this word is so right, it is so straight, it is so upright, that it will brighten your heart up. It will cheer you up. It'll make you glad and joyful. This word will make you happy. Doesn't mean that you don't suffer, because we all suffer. We're in a fallen world. But there's something about this word that rejoices the heart. And make no bones about it, that's what the word means. It means to rejoice. Matter of fact, he'll go on and say, this word's so great that it'll enlighten the eyes. In other words, people will see it all over your countenance. It brightens. It makes you see clearly of where you've been and where you need to be and where you're going and even where you are in a good sense, and it'll brighten your eyes. This word will do that for you, for me. What do you think heaven's going to be like? No tears, no sadness, no grief. What a great and mighty God. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I want to ask a couple of questions. The first is, what is it in your life that needs targeting by the Word? The Word targets the soul. Is your soul broken? Are you here this morning and you've missed the gospel message that Jesus Christ comes to take away your sin and restore you to Him? Restores the soul. Is there a brokenness about your life that needs to be made new? Restored in the name of Jesus. Or is it your heart? Sad heart. Grieving heart. God says this word will target your heart and cause you to rejoice. It may not change your circumstances, But there's something to rejoice about. And that's the future. Ultimately, that future is heaven. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Oh, what needs targeting today in your life? Your soul, which is broken, or your heart that's not rejoicing? The word of the Lord will absolutely, totally rejoice your heart. Maybe here you might say, man, I've made some really silly and stupid and very, some of us, evil choices. Where has my mind been? I've not walked in wise behavior. So I need this word to target my mind. I need to target my life so that I'm walking in the wisdom from which is above. Or my eyes. We didn't get to talk too much about that today. But I don't want to be downcast anymore. And I'm not asking God to take away my problems and to take away the trials, because God takes those trials and does something pretty good about it. That's why you're to count it all joy. I just need to have a different perspective to know that God is working it out for His good pleasure and His will. And that ought to give me some joy. We all go through hard days, hard weeks, hard seasons. But I have a God, and you have a God, that's given you His Word to rejoice your heart, to restore your soul, to enlighten your eyes, give you the power to walk the way Jesus would walk. The heavens declare the glory of God. His Word will establish that glory in your life. But folks, you've got to embrace it. You can't keep it on your shelf. The Bible says you need it in your heart. So I take the Word and I read it. And I put it in my heart. So that means to memorize it at times. And to meditate on it. So that I might be careful to do what's written in it. And I love what John says in 1 John. He says, these commands, this command that I've given you, and by the way, that command is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what really lights your eyes. He says, this command's not burdensome. It's not a burden to do these things. It's a joy. And the only way that that can be a joy is for you to lay it on Jesus. And let Jesus and the Spirit of God do it through you. That's what we're talking about. Mike Fritcher cannot keep the law of God. Cannot keep the precepts of God. He needs a vibrant, growing relationship with Jesus Christ, where the Holy Spirit of the living God is living through him. And that's what God offers today. It's the law of the Spirit and life. And I want to ask you, church, do you walk in it today? Do you walk in it? I pray that the Word of God and the greatness of it would provoke within you a desire, an awe, would provoke within you this running to the Word of God to find the life that He has for you. God, I pray that in Jesus' name today. I ask, Father, for that kind of response. And I ask that you be honored, that you'd be glorified, that you'd be lifted up. Thank you, Lord. We glory in your great name. May we see your greatness.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.